Again, we're on lesson 7, page 33. We'll have this class and two more. Then we'll be going into the next quarter for teaching on a different topic. If you were living and you lived and died and you lived in Jericho before the walls fell, what would be your standard of conduct? How would you base the way you act, the way you live? What would it be based on?
The God you served in your society.
Jericho before the walls fell. Okay.
Probably idolatry.
Idolatry, right? So in that idolatry, you'd have a certain standard that you live by. You have a religion. And you would think that's right. If you lived in Nineveh before Jonah, what would be your standard of conduct, the way you lived, the things you valued, how your society was run? What would it be? Idolatry again, wouldn't it? Okay. But they did have that. And if you're in Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, that society, what would be the standard there? Whatever the people accepted, wouldn't it? Okay, idolatry or whatever it be. And if you were in Ephesus when Jesus was a boy, what would be the standard? Remember they had all the
Diana,
idolatry, all that sort of thing. Now, today and in New Testament times, there's another standard. And what makes that standard, okay, if I may do this, okay, what makes that standard the right standard? Or what was the problem with the other standards that they lived by? They weren't from God, were they? Wholly and completely. But we have today a standard of conduct that we are not, it is not blind to us, it's available to us, and the source of it is completely different from those standards that we talked about. Can we choose the standard we want today? Yes. Okay. And in that standard that we choose is based on what we believe at that moment. And that belief is in, hopefully, in Scripture, in the one true and living God, Jehovah. So as we proceed with this lesson today, we're talking about how we act, how our attitudes are come about, how the, and that, of course, attitudes reflect our actions. But if those things are Bible-based, and therefore heaven-based, therefore Jehovah-based, then is that not the correct standard to live by? Yes. So as we look at these lessons today, my responsibility as a member of a local church, okay, and you'll see a lot of these one another things is how to deal with one another in life also. Okay? Don't lie. Of course don't lie. Okay? And all those sort of be fair with another. All those sort of things are things to live by. And again, the great difference is these standards are without flaw. They don't approve idolatry. They don't believe in other sources of authority. And I guess the promise is much better than the promises of those other societies, the things you can deal with today. The others have false eternities. Well, your eternity is based in faith, based in the proof of this book and what you see around you in nature. Now, so as we begin lesson number 7, it says, my responsibility as a member of a local church. And what we'll see as we go through these one another passages, that you're really going to see essential attitudes that we need to have one towards another, whether in the believer one to another, and oftentimes neighbor one to another. But again, they're all based in and God breathed, aren't they? Scripture. So that's a standard we can live by and something we can put our trust in. Why not? And you are a chosen race, chosen people, to be aware of these truths that are in this book, this blood-bought book, that tells of all the things that are for you in your future and the things that can guide you in this life. So let's be aware of those as we go through it. Now, if we begin with the book of Ephesians, and we can see in the first verse of that first chapter that Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, are faithful in Christ Jesus. So the saints are faithful to Christ Jesus. And what's interesting about that, this group he's talking to, this church, collective, and we see also as we go to the fifth chapter, I begin reading, let me do that in the first verse. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But verse 3 is what I want to look at. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. So, saints are Christians, all right, in a relationship of Christ. But here's interesting, there's a proper attitude, a proper code of conduct, a proper reasoning standard as you go through life, this life. And hopefully the hope will be realized after this life because of these. So there's a proper action, proper attitudes to have, all these sort of things that is exclaimed here. Now this reference here is immorality and impurity and greed. And so it's a, and not to mention this is just an example of all those sort of standards that God has set for us. And a lot of those are in one another standards. One another. How do we treat one another? How do we view one another? What's our attitudes towards one another? And it's interesting on that. So, and because he set up this code of conduct, are we on the right track? Is when you violate this code of conduct, is it a valid? Do you act on a code of conduct, or you just let it pass by? Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and as we look there, we see that there's a code of conduct and there's a violation, immoral. And, of course, we're familiar with this chapter. But it's actually reported that there is immorality among you. And immorality, the word again, of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. And, well, so is that important? Is that important for a code of conduct? Is that important how our minds should be directed? Is it important to God? Well, as we read on, verse 2, and you have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, in order that the one who had done this deed might be removed from your midst. Well, there's a judgment now, removed from your midst for that immorality. And as we look to verse 5, I have decided, this is the apostle, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And if I may continue to read verse 9, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers or idolaters, or then you would have to go out of the world. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. if you should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So then 13 repeats the same thing. So in this code of conduct, there's a judgment to be made. It's valuable. It's important. It's God-breathed by the apostle and the apostle's doctrine. So these code of conducts have consequences and judgments are involved. Now, sometimes in judgments is an open problem, which this was, and it was dealt with. And sometimes they're not. But that's between you and God. But the code of conduct, all of them that God has commanded, all He's revealed in Scripture, all the attitudes we must have, attitudes we must work on, and the actions that come from those are God-breathed. And it's very important. Very important. Now, we've talked before about local church. And like we see in Philippians 1:27, we've talked about it being like a team striving together. And what does a team do? A team has some oversight. It has a common direction. Everyone is moving towards unity in their thought, okay, and achieving the goal. I use football, I use a goal. So that's what we need to think about as a local church, working and worshiping together. Now, sometimes people go astray. If the fullback gets the ball and the play is called off center, and he runs around the end with the ball. Well, was he in coordination with the rest of the team when he did that on his own? Well, he went without the standard. He moved beyond the standard, didn't he? The stuck code of conduct, what the team was after. Same thing if he continues to do that. And if you continue to go around and not play with the group, 1 Corinthians 5, in violation of those codes of conduct, well, you need to remove him from the team. Because when you do that, it helps the team, doesn't it? All right? To achieve the goal. Now, in life, as we consider one another possibilities, I mean consider, okay? We're working toward that goal of being in Christ. That's our goal and our aim. And God, as you look through these scriptures, and this is just a sampling of verses on one another, He's quite an extensive number of one another verses. Quite an extensive number. And really, it's an impressive number, too, to deal with that one another relationships. And that's what we're going to go through as we move through these one another relationships in reference to Christ, in reference to our eternal salvation. And these are important. Very important, because they're God-breathed attitudes and the actions that come out of those attitudes. Now, and hopefully, you know, these verses will ignite, inform you concerning actions that you can take and things you need to work on, things I need to work on, things I may have forgotten, those sort of things we need to, so we're going to emphasize that. Now, as we go through these one another's, think about the application of these verses in your life, things you'd like to do, things you've seen, things you'd like to do, whatever it is. But there's application is always the end product of an attitude, isn't it? All right? So we need to think about that. So that's very important to think about that. Now, to begin with, in part A there, 1A, have fervent love for one another. And if we could look at Romans 12:9 on that, begin there. And a lot of this revolves around the word love. Love, okay, a caring love. A considerate love, a love that has the other person in view, okay, a non-selfish love, a sacrificial love. And as we look at 12:9, we see straight out of that verse that love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. It's interesting on that. And it's also interesting that in so many of the chapters that God has preserved for us, there's the thought continues until verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And it's interesting that if you look at those verses between 9 and 21, that there's a how-to in those verses. How do we overcome evil with good? Things to think about as our relationship one with another. Now, first, in verse 9, hypocrisy. Well, if you're dealing with one another, what's really a hard issue sometimes? People pretend, don't they? Hypocrisy. They pretend, or they don't conceal their true motives. Those sort of things. So hypocrisy can really, really hurt a relationship one with another. So here is God in this point, this application here. The evil thing is to be hypocritic. Okay? And the good is to be not full of hypocrisy. So this whole section deals with one another relationships. And is that good to deal with a brother and sister as a relationship with them? Of course. In the world, our neighbors? Yes. Why be that way? Why pretend something you're not? Why be full of hypocrisy? Now, as we go forward in that, in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. One another, one another, one another. And be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Well, John, what's important to you in life? Family? You value family, don't you? Brotherly love, okay? It's a true, deep love. And is that now how we should think about the way we deal with our sisters in Christ, our brothers in Christ? See, lend that kind of application, that kind of attitude as we deal with one another, all right? Give preference to one another in honor. Well, preference is the idea of devotion to another and that sort of thing. But it's also the idea that who you give preference to, who do you give special help to, who do you give a special looking out for. Well, let's see. Who do you value? Well, let's see. I value my buddies that I fish with or I work with more than people down here in the local church. Local church. Do we do that? Okay. Oh, I know their names. I know the names of their children. All of them. Because you value that relationship. Down here, do you know the names of this local group? Do you know about them? Okay. A family here in this congregation? So those are things that he's trying to emphasize to this Ephesian church. Emphasize to them to think about that as you formed a group here with a common goal and common purpose. After we meet together, you know, three times a week, and maybe more of you in people's homes. And that's good. But think about that. And these are, again, these are God-breathed scriptures. Now, and again, all this comes about in verse 11 because we're serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. All right? When we serve each other, we're serving the Lord. We're fulfilling what He wants of us and desires of us. Is He pleased when we think about our other members of the local congregation as brothers and sisters? Yes, He's pleased. Okay? Is He pleased that we give preference to one another, that we think about the welfare of our brothers and sisters here? Yes. All right, so these are all one another relationships. Now, and that's love. That's love. In our next verse, in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, okay? And as we go through life, same idea. Same idea that we can deal with issue, we can deal with people because they've had a problem in the past. Problem in the past, we can deal with them in this life by loving them, dealing with them, comforting them, that sort of thing. So it does deal with that issue. Now, some people have had terrific sins. You know, if you were a Samaritan, which we talked about, okay, would you go to a Samaritan and offer the Christ message to them? In the times of the Bible, it was very difficult. Okay, but again, you view them as one of God's creation, created in the image of God. And also, God has died for all. So you'd think about them as another person in need of salvation instead of a prejudice against them. Sometimes we have natural pushaways from people because of their past actions. And let that not hinder us in telling others about the salvation through Jesus. Sometimes their diseases get in the way, and you have to be cautious with those. But sometimes they're just scared of diseases. So be aware of that also, not to mention race and economic status and that sort of thing. So be aware of that. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, and we'll get to the application in just a minute. Again, if you want to comment along the way, that's great. Okay? In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, setting up the idea of love, and this is which is the basis for everything that we should be doing, because Jesus first loved us. Were we unclean? Yes. Were we filthy? Yes. But Jesus died for us. Died for each of us. So that's something to consider. He paved the way. His love was not shown by word, but shown by deed. Shown by deed. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4:8. Let's see if I got the right verse on that. 4:9. Excuse me. 1. Am I the wrong one? Yes. All right. 1 Peter 4:8. Boy, it sure did look right. All right. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins, which I read. Well, I'm sure I'm getting mixed up here. I got it off on my paper here. All right. Let's go in. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Okay, now I'm going to get 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Time's clicking by. I'm sorry about that. Okay. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. You're taught by God to love one another. And that goes back to the point to reinforce the idea that God in His wisdom has revealed how to love one another, how to have that concern for one another. And these Thessalonians needed that. And also, if you look at 1 Thessalonians 1:6-9, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers of Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. Verse 9, for they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God. So here is attitude. Here is attitude. Here is a trust that there's a love out there that goes past all those idols that they used to serve. And even their love now is shown. Other congregations see that love and inspires them to love even more, to be concerned even more for the people of God in those local churches. Now, they need help.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I was looking about how he says in verse 7, they were gentle towards them, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately wanting to. And in verse 11 again, you know how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. You have that close relationship. People that maybe some of those people we had never seen before, met before. That's the kind of relationship the saints should have towards one another.
And that relationship was centered, even though they'd never met him before, in the in Christ relationship. And we have a common salvation, irregardless of our background, irregardless of slave or master, irregardless of male or female. So that was a new religion, a new religion, a worldwide religion, a religion for all time. And it was, again, based in truth, based in miracles, verified, and had long standing to it. All right, so that's a good point. Good point. All right. In 1 John 4, 1 John 4, I'm going to get on track here. Again, we're dealing with the idea of fervent love for one another, the basis of our essential attitudes that we need to have with each other, essential attitudes. 1 John 4, 14 through 18. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. God is the one who abides in love, abides in God. God abides in him. For this love is perfected with us. God started love. No retribution. Open grace. And we need to think about that as he has shown to these people of the first century and has written down for us that Jesus did die for us, and that, again, we need to be ready to die for our brethren. Okay? That was in verse 17. Now, in Colossians 3:14, which we're aware of those, Colossians 3:14, it says, beginning 3:12, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Verse 14. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Bond of unity. Does love propagate that? Does love help that unity? It does, doesn't it? When you don't have lies, instability, haughtiness, all those sort of things that can separate one with another, hypocrisy. So, you know what bonds us together and those virtues there that we saw. Love of brethren. Love of brethren by looking at the love that Jesus had for us when we were in sin. Now, that's going to be the fervent love for one another. And a fervent love is, you know, is a love that's got some intensity to it. A love that's got some enthusiasm with it. Not just a blah love. So we need to think about that, okay, as we exercise our one another relationship. Now again, beginning in B there, in Romans 12:10, and these are some points as we go through these next ones. If you have an instance, an occurrence, an application where you've experienced or you'd like to do, share with us, that's fine, okay? Because that's what we need. Now, in 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, your preference to one another in honor. And honor is the idea of devotion to. Honor, devotion. Okay, we're going to repeat some verses. But when we think about that, and honoring, we're having a high regard for the individual, a high respect for them. You work hard to love other brethren. And while you're doing this, you're thinking about Jesus and all He went through, the work that He went through, because He exhibited love for each of us for all time. Now, in the next verse, in C, helps supply the needs of one another. Interesting. In this one, supply the needs of one another. Now in Romans 12:13, which are already there, 13, contribute to the needs of the saints. Saints, yes. Okay. Practicing hospitality. But the first part, contributing to the needs of the saints, is what I want to look at. And when contributing to the needs of the saints, what are we talking about? What's an act of love there? Could be encouragement. In this case, it may be the idea of supplying a need that they have, you know, physical need. It could be. But that doesn't negate the idea that needs can also be more than physical. And if we feel that way, therefore we can look at our next verse in Luke 10:42. And Luke 10:42, we have an interesting set there where there's a priority going on. Do you listen to Jesus or you do the things with Mary and Martha? And then Luke 10:42. We go up to 41. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Necessary, need be. Really only one, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So in life, there's spiritual needs also that can be fulfilled by Jesus not with us, but Jesus' words are. Jesus' apostles' writing are. Inspiration is with us. So we can learn that teaching, okay, can be a part of that inspiration that we need. Now, in the next Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, and may give grace to those who hear. So as we're dealing with needs, we can see in Romans 12 that this genuine love, this fervent love, this love that we're developing, okay, to share with all, honest love, I can say that. That honest love can be for food and supplies. It can be a spiritual need in Luke 10, or be an edifying need, okay, in Ephesians 4. Now, we have an opportunity coming up to deal with a spiritual need, and that's George Slover coming for our meeting. Is that going to be a priority? Is it going to be a need that you can fill? George wants to see people in the audience also. He wants to meet you And that's a expression of love, isn't it? Concern for him that he's here. So they're just an example of that that you can think about. Okay? Let's see. Now, hospitable, I think we know that coming up. Be hospitable to one another, Romans 12:13. We saw that. And in Romans 12:13, be hospitable to one another. And what is hospitable? Well, hospital, caring, even caring for a stranger. Hospital cares for strangers, don't they? All right. So hospitable is the idea of caring, helping ones who would need some help. And it's a friendly atmosphere. Do we do that? What's the application of that in our lives? Again, God breathed, be hospitable one to another. Do we, in the classic sense, do we open our homes? Now, sometimes we say, well, I can't do that because it's a lot of effort to straighten up my house. Well, if I love you, I'm not going to worry about or talk about the way your house is kept. Because I'm happy and I'm glad that you invited me over. Sometimes expense may be involved with it. Sometimes just a lot of people just inconvenience. But being hospitable is something that God wants His people to experience with one another. So being that hospitable and part of that is good. Okay, so let's think about that as we have time and opportunity to do that. And praise be to those who do that, open their homes. Eat out with people on Sundays or any day of the week, okay, lunch, whatever it is. Those sort of things of being with one another. So how can you know one another if you're not with one another? So those are things to think about, all right? Being that, fulfilling that command. let's see, in Hebrews. Interesting, 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable, but do it without complaint. Well, they should have brought those kids over. Look what they broke. Look how dirty the bathroom is. This sure cut time out of my day. 101 excuses, can't there be? Sure. All right. But being hospitable, again, if love is on both sides, you'll overlook those things. I'm going to bring to people's attention, all right? But don't be arrogant about it, and don't be a complaint about that, all right? And above all, don't let it hurt you from doing it another time. Don't let's say this is the last time this is going to happen. So think about that, all right? Now, let's see. Sometimes, like in 13:2, the benefits may be there may be a result of that. Something good can come out of it. If someone does need help, and I know sometimes people put people in their homes to help someone, okay, put them up, and it may be a semi-stranger to them, or even a stranger. And those are things that we can judge on our own, but it is being helpful, is being hospitable, it is setting a good example, it's an opportunity to deal with things that are in Christ, okay? Because after all, people look at our actions, don't they? Look at what we think and how we put that in action. So there's things and opportunities we can have there to be hospitable to others. I know it's a good thing when we have preachers visiting. Some churches put them up in a motel. You mean to tell me you have a congregation of 200 people or 100 people, someone there doesn't have a room or a spot or want to be hospitable? would preach up for 3 days.
Doug, some preachers prefer that.
And some may. Okay? Some may. You wonder why. All right? But that's here and there. All right? But still, an opportunity for that. All right? Now, in Hebrews 10:24, a verse that we've been over more than a few times, in Hebrews 10:24, and what's interesting about this, let me go up to 23. Let us hold fast confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that's a great promise just at that moment, that verse. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let us consider, let us think about, let us ponder those things, how we can contribute to stimulate. To stimulate who? Stimulate one another. Okay? That we can consider the other person to stimulate them to what? To love and good deeds. And what's a good way to do that? What's an indicator that we're making that effort to do that? Well, the next verse, not forsaking our own assembling together. We do things together in assemblies, and those things are necessary. So let's consider that as a thing we need to work on. And that's why sometimes if you're not here, how can you encourage? How can you stimulate? Have you not considered, okay, your brother or sister in our assembly, the way we should act? Anyway, we'll begin there next time in the next verse. Thank you all very much.